Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen, Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't wait until we feel ready. We just make the moves anyway, because the truth is, a lot of people stay stuck. And it's not because they're not capable, but because they don't trust themselves yet. They overthink, they hesitate. Really, they stay where it's safe. But growth. Y'all, growth doesn't happen in comfort, and God did not create you to sit on potential. He created you to step into it even when it feels uncomfortable. So if you've ever doubted yourself stepping into something new, this conversation is for you. Today's guest is Brian Charlot. He's an author and mentor helping people step into sales and build confidence from the ground up. Brian, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat. This is the part of the show where I say, give us your elevator pitch. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what makes you special, darling.
Well, first off, thank you for having me. I'm
Of
looking forward
course.
to the conversation today. Elevator pitch. So I have been in sales now for about 15 years, 15 coming on 16 now. I went to school at Concordia University where I was a student athlete. I played football there. And after some unfortunate setbacks during my playing career, I had to really reevaluate who I was, what my career path was going to be. Re-identify my own identity to myself, because I felt like I was really stuck in purgatory at that time, and allowing myself the time to really rethink what I wanted to do moving forward. It, led me into the sales career, which allowed me to just open up so many more networks and meet so many more new people. And, 15 years later, I'm just trying to give back because so many people helped me out along the way that I was really lucky with, that not everybody gets a chance to meet those same people and have that same guidance. So if I can give something back to those people who aren't sure where to turn, that's what I'm trying to do, because I wouldn't be where I was without the people that helped me out.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Starting back at the kind of the beginning of the genre you kind of flow in, or the niche, whatever you want to call it. I don't know why I said genre. I'm in that mid-afternoon slump, I think. I just needed to get up and do a jazz hands or something, change my energy. Why do you think that so many people are intimidated by sales? And it's crazy to me, because I have moms that'll be like, I can't sell. I'm like, you're a mom. Like, we're born selling. We sell every single day. Why do you think it's just such an intimidating taboo word?
Well, I think there's a misconception of what selling is. I think people, one of two things. Some people think that selling is really easy. Usually those people aren't in the profession, because there's very few people that you run into day to day that are in it that think it's easy. But people that are outside of it believe that it is. Some people have a stigma that it's an entry-level thing that gets you to the next stage within a company, whatever the case may be. And then there's people who think that they are of some personality type that they just can't do it, for one reason or another. And a lot of it has to do with the perception of what a salesperson is. And that's a kind of an arbitrary thing, because everyone's had different experiences with salespeople that they've run into, that they know, all types of different life experiences when it comes to that. So you have two different dichotomies of what people have an expectation of what sales is, and it's kind of somewhere in between. So to your point, like, some of the best salespeople I know are introverts, and the reason is they listen better. And they actually hear the customer, and they hear the pain points, and they understand the problem at a deeper level that they're trying to fix. And they're able to ask better questions and able to come up with a better solution, because they're allowing that person to tell them what they need. Whereas sometimes you have somebody that maybe talks too much, doesn't listen actively enough, and can't solve the problem, and the customer feels unheard. So there's strengths and weaknesses, and you just have to learn what it is with your own personality and be yourself, and then figure out your best route within the profession, because anybody can do it, but there's a lot of misconceptions going into it. And I think that holds people back from even getting into it in the first place.
I mean, what would you say is the biggest fear right now that new salespeople deal with?
Well, the biggest fear is being told no, like it's the end of the world. Like they have this idea that they should be able to make a sale on every call or every door that they knock on, and that's just so far from the truth. But at the same time, people before they get into the sales profession have been avoiding no their entire life. And now you have to flip the script where you're actively seeking no's essentially, because to hear them, that means you have to pick up the phone, you have to knock on the door, you have to walk up to somebody and start a conversation. And at the beginning, when your skills are still in the developmental stage, you're going to get told no all day, every day. And people don't like that. It's just not a fun experience to do. And then self-doubt starts to creep in, all these things. And people really have to understand that this is just part of the growing process. But if you don't have someone there to walk you through it, let you know, hey, we've all been through this, you can start to again think that it's something you're doing wrong and not understand the development of it. And not everyone likes to wake up every day and be told no 50 times and get up and do it again, right? So it can be tough without that little bit of guidance to let you know it's okay and you're getting better and teaching you along the way.
I love that. My publishers actually published Go for No. So like that's their whole thing is how many no's can you get today? And it's not fun. I've been being rejected for like 20 years of my life, right? 20 years. It never gets easier. Even I found you, Brian, on Podmatch, and I get rejected every day. I'm like, really? You're not going to come on my show? Like, it stinks, y'all. Okay. There's actually people who wouldn't dare even give it a chance. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Well,
Come
you know
on.
how many people I've have to reach out to get one, guest appearance on a podcast. It's the other way on the other side of it too. And I totally understand, but that doesn't mean just because you didn't get responded to on the first 10, you don't send out the 11th one with that same vigor and belief that you have value to offer and that you do belong on that type of podcast, whatever the case may be. And you might get rejected an 11th time and you send out the 12th one still, right? So that's all part of it.
No, it is part of it, and I think it actually creates character because the people that kind of go through that, because what I mean, sales, there does have to be, that matter of relatability, I think, right? People, if people are going to tell you that the product sells itself, I mean, they're full, they've missed the whole mark,
You wouldn't
okay?
get hired if it did that.
Exactly. But just that, this gives people that wisdom and experience to be able to speak, like you said, to the pain points, right? Like you know what people need fixed, you know what they need help with, and that's just what it comes through with sales. And it's funny because I've had some incredible people come through on the show, and I asked that question, or I asked Brian the question too before we get started. I'm like, what's your big message, right? Like, what do you really want to be known for, and what do you want that to do for people? And I've got people like, well, I just want them to buy my books, I just want them to sign, and I'm just like, wow, okay. Like, there's still it's a message that really gets lost on people to have some connection here. What does it actually feel like when you're stepping into sales with no confidence? Because I don't want people to get anything misunderstood here. Like, nobody's born with sales confidence.
And I guess the big thing would be to ask yourself, what isn't that you're confident about? Are you not confident about your ability to convey the message that you're trying to, the product or service that you're trying to sell, whether that be yourself, a company's product, a company's service, a message that they have? Or are you not confident in what you're actually selling in terms of a product, service, or yourself? Because those are two totally different things. If I fully believe in what I'm selling, I'm just not confident in the message and how I'm conveying it. That's a lot easier to work on. That is something where you will wake up every day and be energized to sell something you believe in. Now, if you have all the confidence in the world in yourself, but you're hesitant about what you're actually providing to that end user, well, that's the confidence in maybe you should be in a different industry or with a different company or something else. So you have to figure out within you what it is you're not actually confident about, because it comes from very different places in what you're doing. So, and if it's the, as I said, if you believe in what you're offering, you can always just work with practice and evolving your pitch and talking to more people and learning more objections and learning to overcome them as you get more and more used to them, you're just going to get better naturally if you have that core belief in what you're offering. If it's the other way around, I recommend finding a different company, product, service where you understand and believe the value, because you can't do the second thing if you don't have the first core belief in what you're offering. If you feel like you're ripping it off and you're like, oh, I always say, if you ran into somebody you sold something to next week, are you going to go up and shake their hand and reintroduce yourself, or are you going to turn the corner so they don't see you? And if your answer is you're going to avoid them, it means you're not selling the right product. And you're going to have to, that's just not a way to have a career in this. So I think confidence has to come from both sides of that. And if you have both of those and build both of those, well, then you really have a very rock solid foundation to work from.
And how do you build it? What's your advice for building it?
Building it is just, as we talked about, being told no. And like, there's no secret formula. I wish there was, because I wish I'd been told it 15 years ago. If you came here to hear it, unfortunately, there isn't. What you do is you build calluses on how, like, the worst case scenario is no. And I know that sounds so simple, but then it's hearing it and still walking up to that next person and getting told no again. And then, as I said, if I came up to you and I said, okay, well, you've been told no 20 times. What are some of the objections? And you haven't even really got to any. And I say, okay. And then I come up to you in 2 weeks and you're like, well, I still don't have a sale. You know, I kept getting told, I'm like, okay, what are some of the objections? You're like, well, now I'm hearing price. Now I'm hearing this, that, or the other thing. Well, now that you're getting better without even knowing it. Like, the biggest thing I tell people that are new to sales, which is really hard to wrap their mind around, especially if they want to get into it, they want to hit the ground running, build that confidence and make some commission, because they want to make some money while they're doing this. A base salary in sales, you know, isn't what you're in it for. But what I tell them is the sale at the beginning is not the end, is not your goal with every interaction. Now, it's great to get, like, don't get me wrong, I'm saying don't try for it, but that's not failure if you don't get the sale. What you want to do is become, you want to gain tangible information from each interaction. You want to find out why they're not buying. You
Everything's
want to find out
data.
exactly, you want to find out, you're gathering information. Maybe you have to move your pitch because you're not getting past the first five sentences. Maybe you're getting hung up on objections that you're hearing. Well, guess what? If you start to hear objections over and over again, well, now that's what you're working on. And you're getting, so you're building a process, not just, oh, I got a sale or I didn't. Because you want to get it, once you get to that final solution, if you will, you want it to be repeatable, not luck. And if you build this foundation and process and objection handling and good questions and active listening and all these things that this mold into being consistent, now you're building a career that you can be successful in, not just saying, oh, if I talk to 100 people, two people are bound to buy, because that's not a recipe for success. You'll take it. Don't get me wrong. You want luck whenever it comes. But if that's what you're relying on, you're just not going to be successful long term.
I love that. It's what is something that, okay, Brian, you're talking about the there's no magic. Right. There's no one's gonna wave a magic wand and make this all make sense for you. And I fell for that a lot. Like 10 years ago was the beginning of just treading upstream for me, because everybody has a secret cheat code. And I fell for it. And no matter how many of my mentors that really cared about me were like, Brandon, this is not real. I'm like, it is. This is the cheat code. The amount of money I have thrown at cheat codes that weren't real. I wish someone, could have made it make sense to me when I was younger that there is no secret hack. Do the fucking work. I wish I would have started doing the work 10 years ago that I started 3 years ago, right? What is the biggest thing you wish you knew when you started?
So one is very similar to what you said. I wish I was told that the sale is not the end goal early, like, because it seems so backwards to someone new. and they're getting into it. So that's, I wish I'd been told. That's why I preach that all the time. It's like, what are you learning per call? Every no, if you don't learn something from every no early on, then you're not paying enough attention, and you're not focused on what you're trying to do here and establish this foundation of habits that create a sales process that's your own, right? So another thing that new people do is, like, to your point, where they're searching for a magic formula. They're like, well, that person's really good at it, so I'm going to try to be like that person. Well, guess what? You're not them. And they've molded the way they are over time, the same way you have. Like, it starts with being yourself, and it starts with integrity. If your whole goal is to help the customer, then that's, and not to make the sale so you can make money, then you're starting in the right spot. And then you build and grow and evolve in a consistent manner. As I said, the other thing that happened to me when I was starting was, I felt really good when I was getting into it. And I was in a office environment where there's people around me, and people were getting sales around me when I wasn't. But what I realized after was they got lucky at that time. Like, they were in the same boat as me. They were just throwing things at the wall, seeing what
What would
stuck.
stick?
And while doing that, you're gonna get a few hits, which is great. But if you find, like, you can't let that hinder your process. You could ask them. You can say, hey, like, what was it that, like, you should always be looking for information with people around you, and certainly not in a competitive way, in the sense that you should feel any jealousy towards them having success. It's, well, that person got a sale, maybe I can pick their brain about how they did it. And then, like, you know what? That's actually pretty good. Maybe I'll add a part of, I don't have to be them, but I can take a little piece of it. That's a good question, or that's a good way that they worded that benefit or feature of the product, right? But it's got to be yours. It's got to be organic to you, because if you spend 2, 3 years trying to find cheat codes and be someone else, you're going to find out that you're going to go back to square one when it doesn't work. And like, that's what people need to know, is they have to start with themselves and put in the work, consistency, because there's no point in being 3, 4 years into this and not know why you're having any success or failure. You should be able to what's the best way to word that? Like, dissect it and understand where things were good or bad, and where you can add to it in the future. Like, there's just so much you can take from each call and interaction to add to it. It's very, it's a lot more convoluted than it seems from the outside looking in. And that's why I say this is not an easy profession to be in. But if you get good and you take the time early, you can be successful and consistent, which is what you're looking for.
I think being yourself absolutely is the key.
Huge.
And I want to talk a little bit about imposter syndrome because
Oh, yeah.
no matter how much I am me, it still creeps in. How does that show up early on, and what's your advice on that?
Yeah, the best thing that I always say, if you're feeling imposter syndrome, it means you're doing something uncomfortable. It means you're pushing your own boundaries. There are such a high percentage of the population never feels imposter syndrome because they're not pushing their own boundaries. So to feel it is a gift. It means you're actually putting yourself out there and being vulnerable and pushing your own limits and testing what you're capable of doing. So the second thing I'll say to that is, the first time you feel it, and like, I felt it, I still feel it. And that's the point I'm going to get to, is the first time you feel it, you think to yourself, okay, well, I'm still feeling this, so I must not have done something. I must not be fully prepared to, start a podcast, write a book, start a business, go to school, change professions. There's so many things that this can relate to, that you're like, okay, maybe I'm not prepared enough. And if I prepare a little bit more, then it'll go away. Well, the fact is, it never goes away. And I like to say, when it comes to imposter syndrome, the last 10% you have to do in faith. You can do all the preparation, you can do all the prep work that it takes to research and talk to people in your network and ask for advice from people who have already done it before. That's going to get you 90% of the way there. And the last 10% is the faith and trust in yourself. Because there's no 100% now I feel ready. That doesn't happen. And then what happens is the next thing you do, it comes back.
Yeah.
And the next thing you do, it comes back. It never goes away, but you feel more and more confidence and trust in yourself
Right.
to do it again. But the fact that you keep feeling it means you continue to push your own boundaries and hopefully have this success. And you have more trust in yourself to do the next step and the next step. But it certainly never goes away. And I think that's something people who are feeling it for the first time need to understand.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with this show because I learn something new, or like I get new perspectives every single conversation. And Brian, you're not disappointing me at all, because
It
imposter syndrome is a gift. Like, that's a
is.
quick mindset shift that I never in my life have ever thought, wow, this is a gift. It means I'm moving the damn needle, right? Never have I thought that. So I just want to say thank you incredibly, because I already feel it physically, what it feels like in my body of like, man, that's a gift. So, you know, do I dread it? Yes, it's not my favorite thing. In fact, I'd rather hear no all day from people than like sit in that feeling of imposter syndrome. But I mean, I love that. And
And it takes overcoming to it's like building a callus of it, because as I said, it doesn't go away on the next thing you do. It's like, well, it's not a one-time overcoming item. So if anyone's listening that's feeling it for the first time, again, there's no matter. Now do everything you can to prepare and feel like you've done what you need to do to be ready, but then you're taking a leap. You got to jump off the edge of the ledge and trust yourself for the last 10% or so.
Yeah, that's what this show is, y'all. I've told my audience I had huge imposter syndrome. I never wanted to do an interview show. Like, there's no way I could be the host of a show. And listening to people that are incredible, of course, that didn't help me. I had to tune everything out. Like, I don't listen to interview shows anymore, because I just am like, you're not doing it good enough.
Yeah, you're not Joe Rogan levels, so what am I
No.
doing? You
Yeah,
know,
exactly.
it's
Exactly. So I feel like cut out the noise and just understand, you know, I could say what I'm maybe 70 interviews in 2 months. I've had the show for 2 months. And I still feel it. And it is that 10, I'm going to show up anyway, right? I'm going to show up anyway, because at least I know, maybe I'm not interesting, but I could be interested, Brian. I could be interested in a
It's
conversation. I could take notes. I can learn. And so it's possible to get through that. And I think I love the conversation of letting people know that it's a part of the experience, and it is a gift.
Yeah, and I think just to touch on that, to your point, is it can relate to so many different things that there could be, it could have to do with imposter syndrome going on a date. Like it can be relationship wise, it could be, as I said, starting a business, starting a podcast, right? Like there's so many things it can relate to that it can creep up out of nowhere on you. And like, no, I've felt this, I understand it. I believe I'm prepared for it. Now, sometimes you have to listen to it and figure out what it is that's causing
The
it,
data.
because sometimes you get, I was having this conversation actually recently, where you have to balance emotions with rationality, because sometimes your emotions get so high on it, something you really feel like you're excited about doing. And then you have to make sure that you rationalize what you're doing, how you're doing it, researching it, prepping, et cetera. But you can't over-rationalize it, or else it will be too hard. It will be too expensive. It will be too far. It will be, too much work, all these different things. And you have to let, and that's when the emotion has to come back. It's like, is this really a rock solid thing that I want to do? Do I really want to start a podcast? Do I really believe in the idea that I want to convey and the message? Yes. And that's going to push the rationalization until you find this balance. And you're like, okay, I'm ready. And then go. Right. So you still have to listen to it. I never say ignore it. I say feel it, understand it, find out what it is. And then again, know that it doesn't go away. So you got to go anyways.
Go anyways. You also talk about reinvention. What does that look like in real life?
Yeah, it's another one of those things that it can apply to so many things. So like a quick, like a the best example for the two things for me was one, having been a student athlete and really just focusing my entire life on sports, and then having injuries and coming to the end of my tenure was something that I always just kind of suppressed. And but I always knew it was back there, but I had suppressed it. And then when it came to the forefront in a one big wave, I got like paralyzed by it. And I wasn't sure what to do. And all these like, now I have to figure out the rest of my life. And I had this idea and, you know, life's best plans, you know, got in the way here, and redefining what I wanted to be. And then putting, and what people don't realize is when you reinvent yourself, you're not starting from scratch. You still have everything you've learned from over here, good, bad, and indifferent. That it's almost like a Venn diagram. Not everything's going to apply, but a lot of it will. And so when you are changing, let's call it changing a profession. Some people, they'll go to school for one, for a topic, business, economics, it doesn't matter what it is, it's arbitrary. But a couple of years into it, they're like, this sucks. This isn't who I am. This isn't what you're making a decision when you're 18 years old, what you want to do for the rest of your life. Well, guess what? You change by the time you get a few more years on you and some life experience. And some people are so paralyzed and feared and not willing to trust themselves or risk it that they just do that for the next 30 years, wishing they had chose something else. Well, redefining yourself is saying, I always say, if you're walking down if you're going the wrong way, you got to turn it. Like the best thing you can do is just stop and turn around. Like, and what that means is trusting your instincts. Like, this isn't what I want to do. Then you have to ask yourself why you don't want to do it. And like, and maybe ask yourself a few other whys so that you don't end up in the same place. And then take what you know, go all in on your redefinition of what you want to do in the future, and take what you know that worked and apply it, and then learn new skills and evolve and go all in on it. And don't, you can't dip your toes in a, in redefining yourself in what you truly want to do. But I think the biggest thing that I always tell people, especially if they want to say change professions midway through, it's like, well, what was it that's causing this? Deep on a deeper level, so that you don't end up, you know, 2 years down the road being like, I don't like this either. Right. So you really have to understand why, then fully apply yourself. Like, it's like, it's something you really gotta be so in tune with yourself if you want to make any of these life decisions. You can't do it on a surface level, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. And that's been the hardest thing of watching like my older kids just like choose things in college. And I'm like, are you sure? I mean, I'm up there. I'm 46 and I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up, right? Like I change all the time and it's so I think you have to really know who you are to really lock yourself in on something. Let's talk about your book, Brian. What did writing your book teach you about yourself?
A lot more than I expected it to. The biggest thing that I so imposter syndrome was it's about as big as it gets when it comes to writing this, because it took me over 4 years to write, and it's only a 110 page book. So it wasn't because of the content. It was because of my own self-doubts, my own consideration if I really had value to add for people, if why they would believe that I can give them any sort of advice that's going to help them in their life, and all these different things. And I actually talk about it in the book. And the one thing that I got away from was I wasn't doing the things on a foundational level that I was saying that new salespeople should be doing that are getting into the profession. And some of the advice I was given, I was like, well, yes, that's what you should be doing, but am I doing that? And that really stuck with me, because in my head, I said, the only way that I can truly release this book with confidence, if I'm doing the things that I'm preaching that people should do. Like, I do not want to be a do as I say, not as I do type of person. So I actually learned and became a better person, mentor, salesperson, And I talk about how you can't have life skills. Like, best example is if you expect to be able to do it professionally, you need to do it outside of work as well. Be organized, having good sleep habits, like all these different things that are all going to accumulate to being better as you start the breath. I'm like, I needed to change this in my own life. And I certainly couldn't go tell somebody if I wasn't doing it myself. So that was a big factor that I learned about myself. And then at the end of it, I talk about having the confidence to change professions or change industries within the profession. And by the time I was done writing the book, I realized I didn't want to be in the industry that I was in.
Nice.
And so when I started the book and this time passed, I realized I didn't believe in the industry I was in anymore. So by the time I was done writing the book, I actually went and followed my own advice from the
You
book
did
and
the right
changed my industry and did all that. And by the time I was done all that, I was
thing.
like, yeah, I think I can release this because I believe in everything that I'm saying within it. And it was so transformational for myself, and it brought so much more confidence to put it out there, publish it, and talk about it and give that same advice to people because I believed in it,
On
unconditionally.
a different level, you
Yeah.
actually lived it. So I think
I
that's beautiful.
did. I actually had to add that to the end of the book, like to explain that to people. So like the very last, after the conclusion, I actually wrote a whole subsection about how I put all this into my own life, and it was almost my own trial to the advice I'm offering, and did it. So that was a really cool part. So to your point, where what did I learn about it is like so much more than I would have
Everything.
ever thought. Yeah.
I love that. I would say books actually do expose people on a level that they don't expect, and that's been my experience. Is that it? I actually kind of brought me to my darkest place after I published my first book, like my dream come true, and then it was the lowest I'd ever been in life. So,
Yep.
I think it's an experience, it's a journey, and unless you've done it, you don't really know. But it's worth it to keep writing, you guys, because your story matters, okay? Your story matters. The world needs it, no matter where you are in the experience. It's just all data, and you kind of grow through it. We're coming up on our time here, so I want to say there's someone listening right now. They know they're capable, they know they are, but they keep holding back. What is your message to them right now?
Yeah, so you can get stuck, and when I say all this stuff, and it just much like the book, it's all thing I've had to tell myself. It's all things I've had to fight through personally as well. I'm not good at talking about someone else's experience. I'm good at talking about my own, and hopefully have the ability to show like I felt it, I processed it, and I still accomplished what I was trying to accomplish. As I said, with writing a book or even coming on podcast, same idea. And then for you, starting a podcast and writing a book, things like that. What you need to do is, that's the best way to describe it, is you need to feel it. Like whatever it is you're feeling, you don't suppress it. You have to listen to what it is. But once that's done, once you've felt your self-doubt, once you've listened to what your gut is trying to tell you, your mind is trying to tell you have to do something then to move forward though. It doesn't have to be big. You have to do something actionable that puts you a step closer to whatever this end goal is that you're trying to accomplish. So I don't know, the best, say you're trying to start a podcast. Say somebody's in here wants thinking, I got an idea, I have a message, I want to start. Well, you've thought about the idea that you want to do. You thought about the type of guests you want to have on. You thought about how you've done all this research and analysis. Well, maybe you got to go out and buy the equipment, buy the microphone, buy the camera, buy the lights. Like you got to do something actionable, or else you're gonna get other life things are gonna take over. If you let it sit on simmer for too long, you got to turn the heat up a little bit. And that's an actionable move forward. And then once you get to that end, like I said, what you want to end up doing is reaching that last 10%, where then it's just booking someone and hitting record. It's finding the publisher, self-publishing, whatever it is you're trying to do that you're feeling that way, you got to just keep turning the heat up, or else you get stuck and other things take over and it just goes to the wayside, and you got to, and then it eats at you. Honestly, if whatever it is you're working on, and I know this is a bit of a long-winded answer now, but whatever it is you're working on, if it keeps creeping into your mind, you have to listen to it. Now, if you've, you put a few days into it and then it goes away and you never think about it again, well, it really might not have been something you really wanted to do. But if it is something that is really important to you, something you very much are passionate about doing and want to give to the world and to the listeners and whoever else, whatever it is, whatever business you're trying to start, it'll keep coming back. It'll keep coming. And until you move on it, it's not going to go away. So do something actionable, turn the heat up a little bit, get to that last 10%, and then jump off the ledge.
I love that. Jump off the ledge. That's exactly it. Where can people get resourced with you? Where can they find your book?
So you can go on Amazon. Yeah, I have it as a paperback. It's, as I said, it's Pitching Sales, A Complete Guide to Becoming a Sales Professional. Paperback, it's on Kindle, and it's also on Audible. That's how I take in my content. So I thought it was important to offer it as that. And then you can go to my website, which is pitchingsalesconsulting.com. There's links there. And then I run all my social media and I answer any emails that come in through the website. So it's direct to me. So they can ask any questions they want there as well. So pretty
Nice.
easy to get a hold of me. I'm not hiding.
Nice. Brian, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you understand sales, it's that you understand in real life, in real time, what it feels like to start, to doubt yourself, to question the things, and to figure it out as you go. And instead of staying in those spaces of doubt or imposter syndrome, you have built something incredible out of it. And the fact that you were open to the possibility of mentors and people stepping into your life to help you, you're turning around and now you're helping other people step into something they might have been too scared to try. I think that's incredible. I think you are definitely the definition of someone who is stewarding their potential. You've listened to the calling and you're making the moves. To everyone listening, you guys, at some point you have to stop waiting to feel ready. And this is me. If you're not watching this, I just want to shake you sometimes, okay? Because God did not put something in you for you just to sit on it. That hesitation you feel, the pull to do something more, like Brian is saying, if you keep hearing that voice say, like you're staying stuck on something, explore it. That's not random, you guys. That is direction. Okay, but you have to be bold, you have to be willing. And please remember your message, even the doubt, even the awkward beginnings, even the version of you that didn't know what you were doing. That's where your authority comes from. And this is something a lot of people don't realize. The people who actually move forward, they don't do it alone. That's it. It is about you guys putting yourself in the space to have the right conversations, the right environment, the right people who are already doing it, not your family who says you're an idiot for thinking of a podcast because that's so stupid, right? Stay away from those people. If you guys have been sitting there thinking, I know I have something to say, I just don't know how to start, you're not alone. And that's exactly why I've created this show, why I've created a space so you can see in real time how this works, okay? Just people stepping into their voice and figuring it out as they go. If it's been on your mind, you should be in that room, okay? So get into the hot seat. If this episode spoke to you, please share it with someone who needs it. It's a very unselfish thing to do because you know someone that Brian would never be able to reach. There's that one person who is sitting on their potential, and his voice is going to be the catalyst to get him to take that massive action. Can't do it without you. So please share the show. Leave a review, love it or hate it. Stars are cute, but just take a couple seconds to type something up. And yeah, Brian, thank you so much for coming in to the hot seat today and for your time. And you definitely spoke to my audience. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and what a wonderful outro. I think you hopefully spoke to people out there, because it just to kind of add on to it is, like, if you believe in what you're striving for, if you believe it, then it's worth exploring and moving forward with.